Blog Talk Radio. Good day across America and around the world. You are listening to the Vision Voice Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, where your vision can become a reality. You will get only bona fide health and nutrition tips and information, also with special surprise guests. So listen in every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That's New York time. And now, your very own radio host, speaker, author, voiceover artist, and certified holistic health and lifestyle coach, Jessie Blair Myrie.
Good and happy Wednesday to you all on this Wednesday in March, the last Wednesday of the year. This weekly radio broadcast is designed with your health and well-being in mind. I will share my nutritional knowledge with you. And to learn a little bit more about me, simply visit my website. You'll find the link on this broadcast page. And just to remind everyone, what I've learned and have come to fully understand is that no one diet is perfect for everyone. And as in the words of Hippocrates, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. All right, today's topic, eat canned tuna, drink coffee, ditch the gluten. Many questions we all want answered, right? Well, let's clarify the confusion with these eight foods. Yes, there are eight foods that can be very confusing to some. Some may say, I don't know. Well, is it okay to eat canned tuna or drink coffee? Should everyone run screaming from gluten? There's lots of confusion in the food world these days. I think you all would agree. And lots of conflicting answers and opinions. If your food choices have you in a pickle, you need straightforward facts and advice. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to examine the eight most confusing foods and the bottom line on each. The eight most nutritionally confusing foods. There may be more, but we're going to talk about eight of them. And once again, they are the most confusing. You don't know if you should or if you shall not. Gluten is number one on the list. You've been hearing it more and more, folks, I'm sure. If you are aware, if you do the shopping in your household, you do understand that there are items on the shelves now that are classified as gluten-free. So ever since books such as Wheat Belly and South Beach Diet Gluten Solution hit the market, gluten has become the hapless scapegoat of the food world. For people who have problems with gluten, it's with good reason. A sensitivity to gluten from wheat, rye, and barley can cause everything from headaches to dramatic digestive issues. But what about those who tolerate gluten just fine? Should they still be cautious, even in the absence of symptoms? Here is the bottom line, folks. If you suffer from gluten sensitivity, you should avoid it in all forms. Okay, you can have something called celiac disease. You cannot have gluten whatsoever. If you tolerate gluten, well, modern wheat and other forms of gluten are different from what our ancestors ate, indeed. And the advent of packaged and processed foods means gluten is more prevalent than ever in our food supply. To avoid developing gluten sensitivity in the future, vary your grain sources, okay? Vary them. Give gluten-free grains such as brown rice or quinoa a try. And minimize your intake of processed foods. That is the most valuable information or advice or recommendation that you'll ever get. Minimize your intake of processed foods. When it comes to your health and your well-being, you want to minimize it, whether you're gluten intolerant or not, or you have a gluten sensitivity or not. You want to minimize your intake of processed foods. And process just means that it's gone through a process in which to arrive at its current state. So, for instance, potato chips are processed. They go through a process. Potatoes were not created to be cut very thinly and fried or immersed in oil or canola oil or vegetable oil or corn oil, which is not what you want to consume, by the way. So it wasn't created as that. You can definitely bake them. That's more helpful. And, you know, if you're going to put add any oil to it whatsoever, you know, perhaps coconut oil or olive oil is best. But you've got your pastas. Those are processed foods. Anything that's not as close to its natural state, it's processed. And those items that come in boxes that sit on your supermarket shelf for months on end, that's definitely processed. That, as a matter of fact, is just chemically laden. Lots of those food are just loaded with chemicals that you do not want your body to intake. But just to reiterate that modern wheat and other forms of gluten are totally different from what our ancestors ate, it really is. It really is. And if you read the book Wheat Belly, you will find out much more about the wheat that we eat now in comparison to the wheat our ancestors ate. It's totally different. Right now, their wheat grows very fast. We have something called dwarf wheat. We can't make enough wheat for us to consume, it seems, as it's produced. We consume it. And corn wheat is the wheat that our ancestors ate. So it's totally different. People say, oh, well, I eat wheat bread as opposed to white bread. And that may be, you know, for the better of the two evils, it may be better, but it's still really bad for your health. And too much of it can cause all types of symptoms and reactions with your skin, with your hair, with, you know, your overall health. So you want to just minimize that and just be very mindful of it. So if I had to give you the one final note on gluten, definitely minimize it. Keep your gluten intake to a minimum, whether you are sensitive to it or not. That's just Jesse's take, Coach Jesse's take. All right, coffee, we're moving on to the second one of the nutritionally confusing foods. Coffee, you've heard about it. Oh, coffee has too much caffeine. It does this, it does that. We're told that, oh, black tea has more caffeine than coffee, and so on and so on and so on. Well, it has been known that our favorite hot beverage has been blamed for everything from heartburn and headaches to adrenal burnout. Caffeinated coffee is a powerful central nervous system stimulant that can disrupt sleep, increase stress, and upset cortisol balance. Even decaf coffee is highly acidic and can cause gastric distress and acid-alkaline imbalances in the body. At the same time, coffee contains many antioxidants, just like tea, and studies show that it actually protects the liver. Who would have thunk it? Coffee protects the liver, really? Going to get you a cup of joe now, right? Drinking coffee also protects against Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's. Really now? Okay, and both caffeinated and decaffeinated coffee reduce the risk of diabetes and increase lifespan. Now, have you ever? Now, I know that coffee, I mean, I've been drinking coffee for ages. I do not drink a lot. I do not drink coffee every day. But when I do, I make sure that it's organic and it's decaffeinated. That's just me. On occasions, I can drink coffee with caffeine. However, I'm very selective, and I do not make it a daily ritual. Some people have got to have their cup of joe 2-3 times a day. And that's not necessarily healthy if you're not eating, drinking or consuming, I should say, the best coffee possible. So just make sure that the bottom line is this. If caffeinated coffee does not disrupt your sleep or upset your stomach, there's no reason to avoid it. But because caffeine is highly addictive, most people increase their consumption over time. So monitor your intake and try to keep it under 200 milligrams per day, about the amount found in a large, strong brewed cup of coffee. You know that wonderful, famous place that you go to, meaning anybody who's listening who does go to that place that is like every 2-3 blocks. Yes, I said blocks. I'm from New York City, so hey, I say blocks. Every 2-3 blocks, you see one. And there they are, and everybody's just going in and getting their lattes and their espressos and, you know, frappuccinos or whatever it is, $2, $3, $4, $5 perhaps, with loads of sugar added, depending on what they put in it or on top of it. Be very careful, folks. But here's the deal with coffee. If you're just fine with caffeine but have a sensitive stomach, try switching to black tea. Black tea holds lots of caffeine. However, it's even higher in antioxidants than coffee and creates a less acidic environment in the body. So there you have it. And it's going to take you some time to get, you know, adjusting to it. It definitely does not have the same aroma that coffee does. I mean, when you brew some coffee or percolate, I personally percolate coffee in your household, the aroma, it just travels, and it's just so inviting. It's just so warm. It just makes me feel bubbly on the inside. No, it really doesn't. But it's a wonderful aroma. I love the smell of coffee. And if you like coffee, I'm sure you love the aroma as well. But black tea, not necessarily, doesn't have the same effect. However, once again, you have a sensitive stomach, try switching to black tea. And you'll be surprised. You can make your own versions. Maybe you can add some spices to it and make it somewhat of a chai tea. So try that and see what happens. And, you know, you will definitely have a less acidic environment in your body. Moving on to one of the nutritionally confusing foods of all, number three, seafood. Seafood, not the food that you see, but the food that comes from the sea. It's high in protein, low in fat, and rich in omega-3 fatty acids. And studies link seafood consumption to decreased risk of heart disease and prostate cancer. Now that's a double whammy, which is very good, by the way. But seafood also has its share of problems. If it came from the ocean, it's probably contaminated with mercury. If it came from a farm, it's likely laced with pesticides and polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, man-made chemicals that are linked with behavioral problems, neurotoxicity, and possibly cancer. You want to avoid farm-raised fish like the plague. Trust me, you do. Canned tuna, salmon, and other fish may also contain bisphenol A, BPA, a dangerous endocrine-disrupting chemical from the can's lining. So I see a lot of water bottles, plastic water bottles, say BPA-free, and there's something else about that, but that's for another show. While many studies suggest that the benefits of eating seafood outweigh the risk of exposure to mercury and other toxins, there's also the environmental problem of overfishing and pollution. Some estimates say that if current trends continue, we'll run out of wild-caught fish in less than 35 years. Now, I am a true advocate for wild-caught fish. If you're going to eat fish whatsoever, any fish whatsoever, you want to look for the wild-caught fish. And as far as, you know, some of the trends that if they continue, yes, we'll run out of it. I'm just saying next 35 years. I'm not sure if I necessarily agree with that statement. However, I didn't write this. So however, I will say that, yes, we do need to be environmentally conscious. The bottom line is this. Eating fish once a week is probably reasonable with these caveats. Avoid large predator fish such as tuna and swordfish to minimize mercury exposure. And skip the skin. It's a main storage area for toxins. Sometimes I would say that, and I would agree and disagree to it as well. If it's wild-caught salmon, definitely I would definitely recommend eating the skin. However, if it's, you know, tuna or definitely or some other fish, swordfish, which is high in mercury, you want to definitely minimize your exposure. In terms of environmental impact, farmed fish reduce the risk of depleting wild populations but carry serious environmental concerns of their own. So before you buy, visit the Environmental Defense Fund's Seafood Selector page. That's edf.org for safe seafood updates. My definite recommendation, my absolute recommendation is eat wild caught fish. And although once a week is reasonable, wild caught salmon twice a week is even better. Trust me, it's even better. It's rich in omega-3 fatty acids. It's one of the best fish that you can ever eat. Not high in mercury. Comes from the ocean. That's the way God created it, and that's what you want to consume, as close to nature as possible, not in some large tank or some concrete pool where they feed it pink pellets and, say, farm-raised salmon. That's not the fish you want to purchase and consume. You don't want to do that. So be mindful of the label. You know, read your labels and definitely go for the wild-caught fish. Okay, here is the fourth nutritionally confusing food of all, agave. Probably never heard of that, but if I add another word to it, you'll probably maybe say, okay, I know what that is. Agave nectar. Okay, agave. Once the golden child of the alternate sweetener world, agave's reputation has been tarnished of late. It's low on the glycemic index, but high in fructose, which has been associated with weight gain, insulin resistance, and diabetes. Additionally, excess fructose consumption has been linked with an increased risk of fatty liver disease. Because agave is converted into triglycerides, it can increase the risk of heart disease. So you just want to, you know, not consume too much. And if you do, make sure it's organic. Bottom line, agave is not the worst thing you can eat, but it's definitely not the healthiest. It's not a health food. It isn't. If you eat processed foods, check labels. Many natural, quote-unquote, natural snacks and raw packaged foods are heavily sweetened with agave. And while an occasional squirt in your tea won't hurt you, less processed sweeteners such as honey, which I definitely highly recommend, or low glycemic ones such as coconut sugar are better alternatives. So I would also have to, the honey that you purchase is also very important. You want to make sure they come from a source that is not harmful. Bees make honey, of course. We know that. Also, you want to make sure that the honey is organic and raw. That is the best type of honey that you can purchase. Because if it's not raw, it's been cooked very much simply to make it easy to bottle. And what happens is they break down all of the nutrients when it's heated above a certain temperature. So you want to get raw honey. And you want to make sure that it's also organic if you're going to do the sweeteners. You can also consider stevia. It's backed by dozens of studies and thousands of years of historic use. Doesn't upset blood sugar and may even balance your glucose levels. But another addition to stevia, the liquid stevia is best. When you go to your local grocer and you look at a package like, oh, stevia, and it has a particular name brand. And it, but if you turn it around, it has other ingredients added to it. It's not solely stevia. So you have to be very careful and read your labels. Here is another one. This is a big one for me, actually, because I like to learn more about this and what it's how it affects the human body, specifically women as well. So the fifth nutritionally confusing food is soy. Now, so many aspersions have been cast on this once healthy food that it's hard to tell what to believe. On one hand, soy is high in protein and fiber, low in fat, and contains phytoestrogens that, according to some studies, can reduce the risk of osteoporosis, heart disease, and even cancer. Now, on the other hand, there's always a flip side. Most soy grown in the United States is contaminated with genetically modified organisms. That GMO thing just sticks out. GMOs, you've probably been seeing more of those as well. And the phytoestrogens in soy can also stimulate the growth of certain kinds of cancer. Be very careful with soy, folks. Soy is also difficult to digest. Got digestive issues? Want to cut back on your soy intake. And many people are either sensitive or downright allergic to it. The bottom line is this. A little organic soy won't hurt you, unless you're allergic or sensitive, of course. But it's best eaten in fermented forms, such as tempeh, miso, tamari, or whole, as in edamame. Limit your intake of highly processed soy foods, such as soy milk, soy cheese, and isolated soy protein, found in many drinks and bars. Limit them to 1 to 2 servings per day. I would even say 1 to 2 servings per week. I wouldn't even go with a per day. Honestly, I would not. There are better alternatives if you want to, if you want to use soy milk in your cereals or, your hot cereals, or if you want to add them to just drink it on a regular basis. But I would say, personally, I would go with nut oil, and that's almonds. Nut milk. Nut milk as an almond milk or a cashew milk. You can, you know, now that it's readily available in your local grocery store, or you can make your own. And so, you know, this is just one of those things that you've got to be very careful, ladies, if you are consuming lots of soy mixes with your estrogen levels. And once again, fermented forms are best, and limit, I would say, 1 to 2 servings per week of soy anything. Okay? Here is number 6 on the list of nutritionally confusing foods. Meat. Indeed, meat is confusing. Like, okay, should I go vegetarian and just do the fish, and or should I go vegan, you know, cut it all out? Well, unless you're vegan, by the way, you've probably struggled with the question of how much meat to eat. Lean meat is high in protein, essential nutrients, and conjugated linoleic acid, CLA, which protects against canker and obesity. Now, popular paleo diets say that meat is essential to athletic performance and longevity and promote heavy consumption, as much as 1 to 2 pounds per day. But years of studies consistently show that the longest living populations on the face of this planet, you can look it up, they eat less meat, not more. And we know the risks of saturated fat, as well as the added hormones and antibiotics found in conventional meat. From an environmental standpoint, a diet high in meat just is not sustainable. So if you're a meat eater like once, twice, 3 times a day, listen, folks, you got to cut down. Better for you, it's better for the environment. You're going to live longer. The longest living people, I believe, are still in Okinawa, Japan. Okinawa, Japan, they live to, they're the most centenarians live in Okinawa. So you, what do they eat? Seafood. They eat fish. They don't eat meat all the time. Are you kidding me? Meat is like, I guess, you know, luxury type thing. There's also a place in Greece that I just learned about last week that they eat, you know, meat on for special occasions. If, you know, someone is going to graduate or a wedding or, you know, a birthday, some of that nature, things of that nature, then they, you know, they slaughter an animal fresh food now and eat it. They cook it, you know, there's an in-between process, the cooking process, you know. I left that out, but that's okay. You understand me, I'm sure. So meat is not consumed daily 2 and 3 times a day. So if you're thinking that you need to be eating meat all day, every day, because, you know, the paleo diet says I need to be eating meat. And, you know, I need my protein and I got to bulk up, you know, and just be very careful when you're doing that. Everyone is different. Everyone is different. I would just cannot take a broad paintbrush and paint everyone the same color. We just can't do that. Everyone is different. You have to know what is best for you. Some people do not do very well on meat at all. And some people thrive on it. It all depends on your makeup. But you have to, you know, figure that out on your own. So here is the bottom line, and I definitely agree with this statement. And all this information comes to us from Wellness Today, and it's a part of the school that I attended, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. But if you do eat meat, choose organic, grass-fed, pastured varieties. If this is your staple, if you know you are a chicken eater, do not buy the conventional chicken, the ones that were injected with antibiotics and hormones and all types of things that make them bulk up faster and so they can be slaughtered earlier or quicker so that you can consume them with, you know, filled with, laden with all types of chemicals and even water to make it, they inject water in it, you know, fatten it up, and you pay for it by the pound. So no one's losing but you, because you're eating this conventionally grown meat. And this is, these are meats, you know, the cows and the chicken that come from, you know, cages and barns. They're not even left out to roam. You want free-range meats, organic, grass-fed, pastured, because those are the ones that are free of antibiotics, added hormones, nitrates, and other additives. speaking of nitrates, we're looking at hot dogs, processed foods. Oh my gosh, I learned something else about hot dogs, and I may have to leave that for another show just to do a show all on processed foods. But grass-fed meat is lower in saturated fat and calories than grain-fed varieties. And it also has higher levels of CLA and omega-3 fats. Eat meat in small amounts, 2 to 4 ounces, no more than once a day, okay? So if you eat meat for lunch, don't eat meat again for dinner. And if you do that, you know, make sure it's a small amount. If you're going to eat like 6 ounces for lunch, don't eat another 6 ounces for dinner. You know, break it up. You can eat 2 ounces for lunch and 2 ounces for dinner. There's your 4 ounces for the day. And it's not like you need more than that. You really don't. The protein also comes from vegetables. God created it that way. So don't think you can only get your protein, which, by the way, is the best form to get your protein from is animal protein. But once again, you have to eat it in small amounts and, you know, in moderation. And also avoid frying, grilling or overcooking it to lessen the formation of carcinogenic compounds. So I would say, are you serious? Grilling barbecues are coming up. That's fine. You know, I'm not saying that you can't do it. I would definitely say avoid frying. You don't want to immerse all this in oil, especially oils that are not good for you. they become rancid. And you break down the compounds in the oil because you make it become oxidated by, you know, overheating the oil and then immersing the chicken or whatever it is that you're frying in the oil. So, you know, just cut down on it as much as you can. I've instituted meatless Mondays in my household for over 2-3 years now. And it's wonderful. It's great. I mean, once a week at least, I'm just saying for that day, I'm not going to eat meat. You know, I eat fish or no meat whatsoever. Protein. There is protein in vegetables. So you can get your protein from several sources, as well as beans. I'd love to eat garbanzo beans on Mondays as well. So there you have it, folks. Moving on. Oh, gosh, and time is expiring. Here is two more. I didn't realize we were running out of time. For those of us who adore peanut butter, recent controversies surrounding peanuts are troubling indeed. Peanuts are high in protein and rich in heart-healthy monounsaturated fats, but they're also a common allergen and are heavily sprayed with pesticides. Even organic peanuts have their problems. They're susceptible to aspergillus, an invisible mold that produces highly carcinogenic compounds called aflatoxins. Because organic peanuts are not sprayed with fungicides, they're even more likely to have aflatoxins than conventional varieties. Bottom line, if you do eat peanuts, buy them from a store that has a high bulk bin turnover, or buy a vacuum-packed varieties to lessen the amount of exposure the nuts have had to air. The last confusing food is nightshades. Tomatoes, potatoes, eggplant, peppers, goji berries, belladonna, pansies, members of the solanaceous family. They're known as nightshades. Some of them are high in compounds called solanine that aggravate inflammation in sensitive people. But while solanine is irritating to sensitive people, not all nightshades contain appreciable amounts. It's most prevalent in potatoes with green areas, unripe tomatoes, and green bell peppers. So here's the bottom line. If you have arthritis, joint pain, or chronic inflammatory condition, try cutting nightshades out of your diet for a week to 10 days and see how you feel. Moving on to Wednesday's Word, Be Sensitive by Billy Graham's Daily Devotion. If a person is not loving and kind, it shows that he does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:8, Jesus wept tears of compassion at the graveside of a friend. He mourned over Jerusalem because as a city, it had lost its appreciation of the things of the Spirit. Great Heart was sensitive to the needs of others. To emphasize the importance of man's love for man, he revised an old commandment to make it read, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy neighbor as thyself. This generation is rough and tough. I heard a little boy boasting one day about how tough he was. He said, On the street I live on, the farther out you go, the tougher they get. And I live in the last house. Until you have learned the value of compassionately sharing others' sorrow, distress, and misfortune, you cannot know real happiness. That's Wednesday's Word. God bless you all. I'd love to hear from you on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and on that note, bye-bye.